You know, the average church doesn't last more than 2 years. The average church doesn't last more than 2 years. And in America, every month, 1,500 pastors leave the ministry. They leave it and go and do something else. Which means if a church is 3-4 years old, that church is more successful than most churches. These are statistics that you don't know because you take things for granted. You don't know because you have a man who is faithful and for 14 years has been faithful. So you take a 14-year faithfulness for granted. Until you meet people who in 14 years have sat under 6 different men of God. Because the one they sat under for 2 years messed up, scattered everything. They went to another one. 4 years, everything scattered, went to another one. 6 years, everything scattered. It's amazing to see faithfulness. That's why scripture says on that day, Jesus says, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant." Two qualities, goodness and faithfulness. You can be good and not faithful. You can be faithful and you're not a good person. But when God blesses you with a man who is good and faithful, you have a blessing. I really want, on behalf of my wife and I and the church, we want to really celebrate you, Pastor Fola, celebrate you, Auntie Wura, just to thank God for your faithfulness. And that's why I always come, and my wife knows that I don't turn down a Love Assembly invitation. It doesn't matter what I had to do. In fact, I had to push my communion service from today to last week, Sunday. It was supposed to be today, but because I'm coming here, I moved it to last week, Sunday. Just to show you how good God is. Hallelujah. There's so much happening and so much that I personally believe God wants to do in your life. God being so kind and being so merciful, He really doesn't disclose to us the things He does at times. For two simple reasons. Number one is, if He does, you may think you already know it. And number two, if He does, you may not show up. So there are two reasons why. The first one is that you may think you know it, and anything you think you know, you don't pay attention to learn. And also, you may think it cannot work for you, so you will not show up. Because you feel like it's a waste of time. It's like if I tell you that's a lorry, take the key, go drive it. You know you can't drive a lorry, can't you? So you just, no need taking the key. Just say, sorry, I can't drive it. So at times God presents to us things that look like the lorry we think we cannot drive. But the mystery about God is, if He created you, then He knows what you can do. And He knows what you cannot do. He knows what you cannot do by virtue of your environment. It's like a seed. I know a seed can grow. But if that seed is in my kitchen, on my kitchen floor, it cannot grow. Now, the reason it cannot grow is not because the seed cannot grow. It is because the environment is not an environment of growth for seeds. So at times in your life, God may speak to you and you see yourself as the seed in the garden, in the kitchen floor. But God knows that after He speaks, all He needs is for you to say, yes, Lord. Then He will relocate you from that location to an environment that you can grow. And so when you analyze God's word based on where you are, you always miss Him. Because God speaks to you based on where He can take you to. He said to Abraham, I'm taking you to a land. Yeah, you're in all the Chaldeans. He said, crazy place, but this is where I'm taking you to. So when you understand that, like Pastor said, it's a future thing. Your certificate is in the past, but God speaks to you based on the future. So when God speaks to you, He sees you like this. And let me explain. In every seed, there's a tree. In every tree, there's an orchard. In every orchard, there's a forest. The seed you have in your hand, you have a choice of looking at it, number one, as a seed, number two, as a tree, and number three, as a forest. Depending on how you look at it, your commitment level to the protection of that seed will be analyzed. If you see it just like a seed, you can eat it. You can throw it. You can pay no attention to it. But if you look at it as a tree, you'll be a little bit more conscious. Because now, oh, this is an orange seed. But wait a minute. This thing can give me 500 oranges in the future. So at the back of your mind, you're looking at the seed, but you're seeing 500 oranges. And because of that, if someone were to tell you, please, can I get that your seed for 10 pounds? The reason you will not sell it is not because at that point that thing has 10 pound value, is that the future of that thing has value for hundreds of thousands. So your decision of the now is based on your understanding of the future. The reason people mortgage their future is because they don't understand it. Then imagine now someone comes and tells you, you know what, this is your seed, give it to me for 1,000 pounds. The reason you wouldn't give it may not be because you don't see it as a tree. If you see it as a tree, you may say, well, a tree, 1,000 pounds, you can collect. But if you see it as a forest, you will know you cannot buy a forest for 1,000 pounds. And whenever God speaks to you, he's speaking not just to your seed, he's speaking to your tree, he's speaking to your forest. Because that's the progression. And when you understand that, then you will know that you're even bigger than your faith. You're bigger even than your faults. You are bigger than your own answered prayers. Because if all God had to do was to deal with you based on how much you can pray, do you even know how to pray? Scripture even says we don't know how to pray as we ought to. So it's even in Scripture that you don't know. So God cannot depend on your prayer. That's why there are things that God depends on his grace to do. There are things that God does because of his covenant. There are things he does because it is an answer to the prayer of Jesus. Scripture says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So does God answer that intercession? Yes, therefore there are things God does because Jesus is praying for you. Because the purpose of God in your life is bigger than you. That's a very strange statement. It's bigger than you. That is why there are times you may even say, I'm not doing it anymore. And God will say, you will do it. Because it is not just you. There are other people whose lives are connected to yours. And so those people will not suffer because of your stubbornness. So God will force you to do some things because of the other people. So there are times God will rescue you from death. Not because you were living right. But because if you die now, so many other things will go wrong in people's lives. That's why a life of purpose is the best life you can live. That's the most secure life you can live. That is where your protection is established. And that is what now makes you can endure a lot of things. Because you understand that it is not just about you. There are places you cannot go, not because you can't go, but because of other people. There are things you cannot do, not because you can't do them, but for the sake of other people. In fact, Paul even said, if eating meat will make your brother to stumble, don't eat it. To you can eat your meat. No problem. But because your actions are connected to the welfare of other people spiritually, there are things you will not do because of the person sitting beside you. You may be strong, but that person is not strong. And so you decide to pay the price for the weakness of that person. But society teaches us to be very individualistic. Do what I like, the way I feel, how it makes me. So you know, we have not been trained to sacrifice for the sake of the other. We have been trained to say, well, that's that person's life, this is my life. Why should I pay the price for you? Because we now live in a capitalist, individualistic Christianity. Someone didn't hear me. Because you think capitalism is always positive. It's a lie. Because when you read scripture, you see capitalist principles in scripture. You will also see socialist principles in scripture. Sorry to say that. And I know what I'm talking about. Study your scripture. Both of them. Because there are times that God will behave like a capitalist. There are times God will behave like a socialist. There are times God will, he told them, he says, all those who had, they brought it and they distributed to all those in need. That's not capitalism. That is not capitalism. But he says, when they sold land, they brought. Haven't you seen Acts of the Apostles? They now took. Can you imagine? All of you, you go to work, get all your salary, bring it to church, and then we distribute to everyone according to their needs. Picture that in your mind. You won't come to church. You won't come. But again, you now read the same scripture, and Paul says, he who does not work should not eat. That's a capitalist statement. And you understand that. Don't work. Let me see how you eat in this country. Don't work. Pay your rent. Let us see. So, Paul now projects the same scripture is presenting. But the point is understanding the balance. Understanding the balance. That's why we may be richer in England, but people are happier in Sweden. You know what I just said? We have more billionaires than the Swedish people, but they have a higher standard of living than us. Their houses are better. No matter how poor you are, where you live is good. So that's the main, how to create, so you don't get to a point whereby you take on one side and forget the other. But you know how the sharing comes in, and you also know when the thing about you must do to deserve what you do to deserve. Like Paul says, he who does not work should not eat. So you cannot imagine, you now come to church, someone is in need, and what do? You say, well, Paul said, he who does not work should not eat. And so you go back with your conscience cleared in quotes because you think you're fulfilling scripture by being selfish. I'm saying all of this for us to understand that we must not follow the system of the world. This is 14th anniversary, which means by now you should be mature. You should get to the point where you understand that you follow the cloud. Look at what God told Moses. He said, in the day, there was what in the sky? A pillar of cloud. And in the night, a pillar of fire. And then scripture says, wherever the fire or the cloud stood, Israel stayed there. No matter how long. You see, if the cloud is there, if you care, leave. Because you're in a haste. Go. And if you care, start building your house. And then the cloud starts moving. Tell the cloud that no, you have to finish your house first. Stay. Because they were following the prophetic cloud and fire to locate where God was taking them to. Now, their direction in life was not dependent on their projects. They were not in a particular community because that is where they found work. If that cloud should lift up now and move to New York in your life, are you ready to go? You know what you will say? Oh God, you know that the children just started school? The thing, we are not ready for God yet, but we don't know. We are not ready. Because look at it. Think, put yourself in the shoe of the people. The cloud has been somewhere 2-3 years. You have established a type of family and private life in that place. Then by the time your feet want to enter the ground, the cloud has moved. And now God is saying there's a property market in Johannesburg. He wants you to go and do it for 2 years. Will you go? And that was it. You want to make it to the promised land? Follow the cloud. Follow the fire. The amazing thing is, you may think that God interrupts your life a lot. But you can only think that way if you don't first of all know where God is taking you to. Once you know the destination, you'll be assured that whatever God does, he will take you there. Now, this is how you know. Just obey God. When you get to your destination, turn back in your life. Look at all your friends and all your colleagues. In 10, 20 years, look back. And you will see where you are and where all those people that are making you disobey God are right now. The ones who will not go where God wanted them to go. Because God is faithful. He says he's a faithful rewarder of those who what? Diligently what? Seek him. You know the difference between diligence and faithfulness? I tell you. Diligence means doing it the same way you started. Faithfulness means doing it all the time. You know, when you start something, you're diligent. You do it well. You want to hoover the floor. You do it so well. That's diligence. The quality of your work is diligence. The quantity of your work is the faithfulness. So you can still hoover that floor every Sunday, which means you're faithful in doing it, but you are no more diligent. Because this time when you do it, it is not as clean as before. Because time has a way of affecting your diligence. Before, even when you wake up in the morning to make up your bed, you will make the sheet to be straight. Clean, neat. That's diligent. But now you're still faithful. You still make up your bed. But when you yourself, you look at it, you say, it doesn't matter. The pillow is not, you just move. Diligence has gone, but faithfulness has remained. Man, companies do that a lot. When they start manufacturing products, they are very diligent in quality, very diligent in packaging. After a while, when they now get a huge client base, diligence now goes down, but faithfulness remains because they keep producing the product. So the problem with God is, it's not really faithfulness. You're faithful. That's why you keep coming to church. But are you really diligent? Before you come to church, you will pray for God to speak to you. You come with a heart to receive. You're diligent in your attendance of church. But now you still attend, but you are now faithful, no more diligent. Because now you just wake up, you just come. It's a routine. You didn't even pray, God speak to me. You don't do that anymore. But you're still faithful in church. And the reason why a lot of people don't get rewarded is because they think God rewards faithfulness. There are times he does that, but in most cases, if you want to touch God, he says he will reward those who diligently. God does, because God himself is the most diligent creature. Faithful singer, but are you a diligent singer? You're faithful in your department, but are you diligent in that department? Diligence is that which when you do, what others do don't affect you. Even if others don't do it well, you will do it well because you are a faithful usher. You are a faithful choir member. You are a faithful intercessor. You are a diligent. Your diligence is strong. So all of us come in intercessory department, but half of us are diligent, the other half are not. I want to propose one thing to you. Improve your diligence and see what God will do. In everything, it's not just diligence in spiritual things. Even in physical things. Be diligent even in your cooking. Even in the way you do your laundry, the way you even get your house tidy. Just, there's something about diligence that God cannot resist. He has to reward it. so that you don't just become faithful by virtue of you don't stop doing what you're doing, but in that continuous doing, your standard remains the same. Diligence is that which makes sure your standard doesn't change. Is someone with me? Oh, someone help me, Jesus. Am I talking to someone here? 14th anniversary. People of God are losing their diligence. But their faithfulness is very strong. I'm telling you. Most of you here are faithful. But your prayer may be your diligence. You're faithful in giving. But are you a diligent giver? Okay. Pastor said, be patient. You know, we're going to take time. But it so happens so strange that it's actually on, the preaching will not be that long. So open to me in Judges chapter 14. You know, those who always said, oh, how is your wife? When are you coming with her? So I came with her today. Thank you for coming. It was good traveling with her. It's amazing. And when she's there, I preach better. Judges chapter number 14, verse 5 to verse 9. I want to drop, Pastor Fola, I want to drop, just to drop one little thing in their spirit on this 14th anniversary. Little thing. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, New Living Translation, I'll read from the New Living Translation. I think, very good, lovely. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson. Can I stop there? He's on a mission. A young lion. It didn't say a lion. It said a young lion. You know why young lion? It is the most ferocious lion. A young lion has its muscles intact. Two. Its canine teeth, you know, the teeth, is still piercing. And its claws are still very sharp. All lions may be strong, but they don't inflict much damage. Due to age, their claws have lost the sharpness. Their canine tooth is no more very piercing. But it specified a young lion. So this is not an ordinary battle. And you must understand there are battles that come to your life to discourage you from doing something. There are battles that come to your life to stop you. But there are some battles that come to your life to destroy you. They don't come to stop, they come to kill. That's what's happening to Samson. You know, not every trial and problem is the same. There are problems that will come to you. You will not be happy about it, but it's all right. You will cry, but you'll get over it. There are some others when they hit you, only God can deliver you. Otherwise, you are losing your mind. You will end up in a psychiatric unit. It is so. All attacks are not the same. There are attacks that will attack you and you won't eat for 3 days. There are some that will hit you and you lose your house. Both of them are financial attacks. Are they all the same?
No.
And there are some that, in addition to losing the house, you lose your job. You know you can lose your house and still keep your job. A young lion rose up against Samson. This was the day Satan said, I'm putting an end to this man. Because he could see that there's a vision here. Samson has his weaknesses, no problem. But Satan knew that despite his weaknesses, he will still make it. So let me just stop him now. So a young lion arose. And there are three people in this story. It is Samson and his parents. A young lion suddenly attacked Samson. The question is, the lion saw three people. It left one, the father, left the mother, went to Samson. What is the lion looking? Because if it's age, a lion should be threatened more by Samson's father, who is, Samson is still a young man. Because you see, Satan knows what he's looking for in you. That's why they came after you, not your colleague. But both of you did the same thing. Both of you came late. But it was you that went to the disciplinary committee, not your colleague. And you're wondering, why do they hate me? No, they really don't hate you. It is that there is something, your purpose is threatening the devil. It came after Samson. Now, at this point, because what people don't understand is, a lion is not a stupid animal. It is one of those carnivores that is very selective in the type of battle it fights. Even talk to people who deal with zoology and animals. Ask them, how many, in your experience in the forest, those who do research on that, how many times have you seen a dead lion because of a fight that the lion went into and was killed? Lions don't fight battles they know they'll not win. That's why a lion will never attack an elephant. Watch, even on Geographic, he will see elephant and he knows. He knows that this battle, if I initiate it, the elephant doesn't need to fight. He just needs to lay down in green pastures. As long as that green pastures I'm under, just lie down on the lion. Just 5 minutes, it's dead. Lions don't even fight tigers. They don't. They don't go after cheetahs because the cheetah will run faster. No, he don't. The lion is one animal that does not like disgrace. It doesn't. It must not enter the CV of a lion that I lost a battle. No. I rather not. And you must learn that. It says the righteous are bold as a lion. Learn to know the type of battles you should not fight. Don't have your spiritual CV with a lot of lost battles. The one you cannot fight, leave it. Right now, that battle in your office, you cannot fight your boss. Even though your boss is wrong, don't fight it. Leave it. If you clash with him, you will lose. Even though he's wrong. Oh, someone didn't get me. Even in sports, a lot of sports personalities have destroyed their destiny because they didn't understand that your coach can reduce your value by 80%. Just put you on the bench for 3 months. Your value will leave £9 million to 2 just because you haven't been playing. Why? Because the coach said something you didn't like, so you responded. You have lost £7 million in your value because of 2 sentences you released on the coach. Because you didn't understand, there's a time you don't fight. But there's a time that when your name is Lionel Messi, you can fight. Because no coach can put you on the bench then. You must know when to fight. That's why people like Ronaldo can tell the coach, I am not sitting on the bench. And he will not sit on the bench. Because if he sits on the bench, only the fans will uproot you, the coach, with some anointing. You see, there is a time. But when Ronaldo was under Alex Ferguson as an 18-year-old boy, he couldn't say, if he tried that thing, they would have put him on the bench. There is a time you fight when you know you will win. You know, you talk to young people, you're about to get married, and your father says, you know, I don't think I like the young man. Instead of you know your dad, you know the kind of thing he likes. You do all those things you know that will make him change his mind. Even if he says, stupid daughter, say, well, daddy, you know you gave birth to me. I cannot be stupid because you're a wise man. You have to tell him things. Because if you fight that battle and he puts his leg down, you are not marrying that man. You'll be in trouble. He will not collect your bride price. What will you do? You say, I don't care. Well, I know some of you live in cultures that in that domain, you don't care. Because you just call and inform your father, oh, I'm getting married next week, Saturday. And why doesn't he want you to marry the man? For a stupid, useless reason. But you see, you have understood if I fight this man in this area, I am going to lose parental blessing on this institution of mine. So I endure it. I don't fight. When you have now married the man and he has now given his blessing, that's the time I can say, no, Papa, I'm not a married woman. You can't talk to me like that. Now you can fight. Now you can talk. Because at that point, now the thing has been sorted, that God has blessed, he has given his blessing, and he cannot withdraw. Then you can start putting some of your... when you are not wise, foolishness will create you more problems in this life than even the devil in some cases. So the lion looks at Samson. He looks at all three. He says, you know what? Even if the other two try to defend Samson, I can take all three down. Oh, the lion knows. So by the time it went on Samson, it already knows I'm winning this battle. It looked at Samson's height, understand Samson's, and say he has even nothing in his hand. So he pounced on Samson. The lion also did feasibility studies. I'm telling you. It calculated, did everything. So it concluded, I'm going to crush Samson. What you don't know, for any attack Satan brings at you, Satan also does feasibility studies. Looks at your life, that right now, emotionally you are weak. Someone just disappointed you. And then at your job site, they just reduce your pay. So Satan has done, say, okay, if I attack you now, I'm sure of getting her. That Satan also doesn't waste resources. So the lion came, and the Bible says, at that moment, not before, at that
moment,
even Samson, when the lion started coming, Samson himself knew it's all over. Are there not those kind of battles? You read the letter, you yourself, you know this house is gone. You receive the phone call and you know it's over. You're just waiting for time, but you already know it's over for me. Listen to this. Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. And scripture says, at that moment, the Spirit of God, how do you say, the Spirit of the Lord came what? Powerfully upon him. At that moment. Now, watch this. At the time of the feasibility studies, the lion did not see that one. What the lion did not know is that Samson had a hidden weapon. And God does that a lot. There are things about your life God will hide so Satan doesn't see. He will never allow the devil to know everything about you. Never. So that Satan will always underestimate you. Until he attacks you. Oh, he thought you were a weak girl because the man just left. Therefore, you're going to crumble. And then he came and attacked you and was so shocked that you stood even better than the one who has five suitors. The Spirit of the Lord. And you know that this Spirit of the Lord, it came only when the lion attacked. You do not know what you can endure until the attack comes. Because God does it deliberately, because if he shows the strength to the devil will not come. And God wants that lion killed. And so he uses your life to set a trap for the lion. Some of you are going through a crisis that it is a trap Satan has set for the devil. Because he wants to put an end to that lion once and for all. So when you fight and win that battle, you will never need to fight it again. After that battle, finances will never be an issue for your life again. After that battle, medical issues will not be an... There is a way you win a type of battle and it becomes permanent. Permanent. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and scripture says he ripped the jaws of the lion. He put his hand in the lion's mouth and ripped it up. What is happening? The lion could not bite. And he says Samson did it with his bare hands. You don't know what your bare hands can do. Because you have been trained to think that you must use a weapon to kill a devil. But they haven't trained you that the greatest weapon is invisible. You think that the weapon is what you have in your bank account. Of course, that is a type of weapon. But there are battles coming. It takes a bare hand. Because if there is something else in that hand, the power cannot come on it. And God wants to do something that you will know. Because if you pick a stone and kill the lion, you will give glory to the stone. You will say, I killed the lion because of the stone. But when you kill with your bare hands, you will know, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. I don't know whom I'm talking to on this anniversary. But I'm talking to someone with bare hands. When you look, there is nothing tangible and sizable you can see in your life. But that doesn't matter, because what matters is it may be bare hands, but the Holy Ghost knows the address of those hands. Amen. He sent his hand in the mouth of the lion. Jesus ripped it apart. It was a one strike. I'm sure the lion was shocked. This lion could not be, before the lion even knew there was a battle, the jaws were already apart. Can I announce to someone in this place, this year, you'll be a lion killer.
Amen.
You didn't hear what I just said. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat. Something that looked very complicated. The Holy Ghost came upon him and made it so easy. This is what kills other people. But for Samson, it was a very easy thing. Not because he's smarter. Not because he's more intelligent. But because the Holy Ghost can come upon him. These are the days where you must make your life accessible to the Spirit of the Lord. And there are things, you know, the Spirit of the Lord doesn't like. Keep those things away from your life. And watch this now. And I promise you I won't preach long. It says, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. You know, when the young lion charged, the father and mother saw it. But I'm sure what happened is that they went into the bush somehow, you know. So they ran to, they were fighting, so they went somewhere. Now, when he came back, you know, the father and the mother, you know what they concluded? That, oh, the lion ran away.
Yeah.
No, they cannot kill which lion. No. They were like, oh, we thought you had died. Thank God the lion ran away. You know, I was praying with your father that God should make the lion to run away. Hallelujah. Hear that testimony. Samson did not tell them. There are things you do, keep quiet. If it were you, you would have even done Facebook Live when you're fighting. 1 minute after, your Twitter account, Instagram, it will be everywhere. A selfie with the, on top of the lion like this. And maybe with a job, the lion you have opened. Because what is happening is, there are some battles you win in silence.
Yeah.
Keep quiet about it. It's not yet time to publicize it. The people would not even believe you at that time. So hold on. There are things you know. People should not know you know them. Preserve your secret weapon at times. You know, at times you walk in an office and something happens and you know the solution, but you're dealing with arrogant people who you just keep you quiet. It's not your department, it's not your issue. You see they are struggling. They are the ones making £36 an hour, and they are giving you 8 and want you to worship them. Let them use that £36 and solve it. Samson kept quiet. Now, it now becomes interesting. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he got to that point and turned to off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. And he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and his mother, and they ate it. But he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. See, they still don't know. They are eating what they don't know where it's coming from. But see what happens. And this is my message. Which means I have 15 more minutes on the pulpit. I promised I was going to preach. I won't preach for long. Now he's coming back. He got to that point. And he remembers, I fought a battle here. I killed the lion here. I know where I dumped it. So on going to the lion now, in the carcass of the lion, some of bees had come there and left honey. Say after me, honey. In the carcass. The carcass was the lion he killed. The Bible says God is taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. But he didn't tell you how you'll get the honey. This is not how you get the honey. That's why he told them, I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. But the Perizzites are there. The Jebusites are there. The Hivites are there. To tell you, honey is a product of victory over battles. When the lion was coming to Samson, what the lion did not know is that God was looking for a container to package Samson's honey and send the lion. Samson fighting the lion did not know that this was my honey for the future. The lion did not leave Samson unaffected. I guarantee you, don't deceive yourself. He would have clawed Samson. It wasn't just like a battle. No. That lion inflicted injury on Samson. He would have been bleeding. And after killing the lion, he's wondering, what was the purpose of this battle? You know, there are times you fight battles and win, but you don't see any value in the victory. 2 years have passed, and you're wondering, oh, this is my suffering. Look at the 1 week fasting and prayer I did last year. Look at the things I endured. Nothing came out of it. Some of you don't understand that your honey will come 2 years after you win your battle. Because when Samson killed the lion, the honey in the carcass was not immediate. It was sometime later. So some of you, it is the honey of a carcass you killed 5 years ago you enjoy this year. Oh, someone didn't hear me. And so when you're fighting, you fight with an objective. You know there is no victory. That's why you must stand strong. Face any challenge that comes at you. Stand. Face it. You will be victorious. Who knows? The battle you fight this January could be your honey for May. So when some doors open in your life in the month of May, it is not because of the prayer you prayed in May. It is the battle you fought on the 15th of January. Now this is the time for the honey. He met the honey. He scooped and gave some to the parents. But still did not tell them. He did not attach his battles and victories to what he was doing for them. They don't need to know how much he has fought, how the lion strangled him, how he defeated the lion. He doesn't want to impress them. Just have the honey. Because the problem with a lot of us is that before we give people things, we want them to know how we suffered, how we paid the price, how we endured. You want to paint a picture of the crisis you went through. No, he says, no, enjoy your honey. You know, the thing is, seated in this hall are five categories of people. The first set, your lion is coming. And you have gauged, you've observed, and you've concluded, rightfully so, that this battle will destroy you. So you're seated here, and you're faced with a challenge that deep in you, you feel like this is going to crush you. The next set of people here are the type that you don't even know how it happened, but you came out of the situation. The lion is now dead. Third set of people, you are now enjoying the honey from your battles. So you are now at the point of what? Enjoying your honey. The fourth set of people are the people that you are now stabilized in the blessing. And God is now sending people to your life to be a blessing to them. Because when he took the honey, he gave to his parents. And God is observing to see if you're going to freely bless them, or you also say, let them also pay their price. Oh. I know it cost you a lot to be able to pay your rent and stabilize. So you don't say, I can just give someone £600. Okay, you're struggling. Take this. No. You want to find out why he's not making money. You want to find out what he's doing. You see, at times, God can bless you so you can be a blessing to others. But rather than just do that, you start analyzing the lives of the people and concluding which one needs and which one doesn't. So some of you are at the point now that you know God has elevated you and God is positioning people that he wants you to reach out to. And that's all he wants you to do. Now, I don't know which category you fall under, but in this anniversary Sunday, my prayer is very simple. I know, whether I like it or not, you're facing lions. The next thing I know is that your victory does not depend on what you have, but who you have. Number three, I know at the point of the attack, God has a secret weapon against the devil. At the point of eviction, God provides a solution. At the point they got to the Red Sea, at the point of crossing, God manifested the rod of Moses. Not before. At the point of crossing the Jordan, God told the priest, dip your foot in the river. At the point of the governor tasting the water, it became wine. Not when they bore it from the water pot. God has a way of meeting you at that point. And some of you are at that point. Don't worry. You will know that there is a God. Amen. You will. And that God can never change. He can never lie. The days are coming, you will look back and know that it is you that has not been faithful towards God. But that God has always been faithful. And someone is here now. Now you have met the honey from your carcass. Enjoy it. There's a time in life. Enjoy. It's not all the time you must be struggling. There is a time. Go on a good vacation. I say enjoy the life. There's a time you get to and you want to change your wardrobe. Change it. Don't feel guilty. It is your time of honey. You fought your battle. Enjoy it. The problem is when you're enjoying when you didn't fight. That's why you know it's not time for vacation in the Caribbean. Stay here. But when that time comes, you will know. Rise up on your feet. I don't know what God has spoken to you on this anniversary, but I know he's spoken a lot of things. I promise I won't preach for long, and I kept my promise. I hope so. Lift up your hands. Give him praise. How else can I tell you that God is fighting on your behalf? How else can I tell you that the lion can roar? That's why the Bible says your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a what? Roaring what? Lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. But what the devil doesn't know is that in you is another type of lion. It's called the lion of the tribe of Judah. Strong lions don't fear weak lions. Whatever battle comes to you, scripture made it clear, greater is he that is in you. So in this year, whatever comes, remember, you will conquer it. It doesn't matter. When you get stuck, wherever you get stuck, the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you will have a child. Mary said, how shall it be, seeing I'm a virgin? The angel said, the power of the Most High will come upon you. Whenever you get stuck, open your mouth and say, where are you? Say, Spirit of the Most High God, call upon that power. It will manifest on your behalf. When life gets stuck, release that power. When things get blocked, activate that power. When you feel like all hope is lost, activate that power. Jesus told them, tarry in Jerusalem until you endure with what? Power from on high. It is available. When the doctor says there's no hope, release that power upon yourselves, upon your tissue, upon those organs. Do something about it. You have nothing, but you have that power because you have Jesus. And this morning, if you're here and Jesus is not the Lord and Savior of your life, you cannot miss this opportunity because you don't know the lion that will come and kill you because your life has no access to the Spirit of God. But the Bible says, for as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And scripture now says, as it says that the Spirit of God are with them that have Christ. You want the Spirit, it comes through Jesus. Society is so wicked, so demonic, so occultic, you don't even know how to fight because you don't know what is fighting you. That's why the Bible says, even in prayer, that the Holy Ghost will make intercessions for you. He knows what you need and he will do it in this season. When you get stuck, open your mouth, release that. Oh, Jesus. Can someone pray right now? I want to hear your prayer. 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 No more. Yes. Goliath thought David was a little boy. But what Goliath did not know, that the Spirit of God was going to come upon David. And when he did, the Goliath that came to kill David ended up being the one that died. Every battle you're going through, you will win that battle. You will conquer that attack. You are coming out victorious in your family, in your business, whatever concerns you, in your health, in the name of Jesus. I release upon your life on this 14th anniversary, victory upon every crisis, every trial, every temptation. What Pakusata, in the name of Jesus, you shall not die, believe. The doors will open. The dew of heaven will locate you. The gates of brass and the bars of iron are broken and cut asunder. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. In this season you shall behold only with your eyes the victory. God told Moses, says, Moses, stand still. For the Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more. I declare the things that have defeated you in the past will defeat you no more. In the name of Jesus. May the blessing of God come upon you. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost upon your family, upon everything, the works of your hands. Samson had bare hands, but the Holy Ghost came upon those hands. The Bible says the work of your hands are blessed. Your hands also represent your activities. Your activities in life may be bare. That means that there's no much to show for it. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon that business, comes upon that office, it says the works of your hands, whatever you do to make a living, when that power comes upon it, it will kill lions in that domain. Some of you will break through this year like never before. Some, I use the word crazy now in quotes, some crazy doors will open for you. I was telling them something in the church in London on crossover night. I said, I heard in my spirit some of you will touch your first £1 million this year. And some of them screamed. One came to my office. The other day says, Pastor, I just missed a £500,000 deal. Why? Because she had no company to execute it under. But you see, anyway. Lift up your hands. You think God is a man? He's not. Those who don't know God will never be better than you. In this world God created, it's not possible. The psalmist thought that they were better. So in Psalm, David began to pray. He said, Father, look at those who don't know you. They eat well. Their children prosper. They go to good schools. Then the Bible says, God took David to the temple. Because David was speaking from a carnal perspective. When David went in the spirit realm and looked at the same people, David said, thank you, Lord, I'm better than them. It is not the car they drive. It is not the bed upon which you think they have in their homes. They can have that bed, but they cannot sleep. They may have that food, but they cannot digest it. They may have all the people around them, but they don't have love. So it is not a matter of looking at what you see and think people are better than you. No, it is what quality of their life is producing. You may eat once a day, but you eat a happy meal. That's why scripture says that little that has love is better than much in the midst of hatred. You're comparing yourself with people that wish that they were you. When the psalmist understood it, then he realized that the truth is, it takes God to enjoy life. Yeah. Let me surprise you. It even takes God to enjoy money. Yeah. You didn't hear what I just said? Wait until you have money, but your kidney cannot hold. Wait until you have money, but all your children are on crack. Wait until you have money, and you have no friends. Then you will understand that it takes even God to enjoy money. Because it is with God you can be enjoying and you don't need to look out through your window if someone is coming to attack you. It is in God you can be enjoying and you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In other words, you are prosperous in your liberty. Otherwise, worldly people are prosperous in their bondage. There's a huge difference. But both of them carry the word prosperity. So you need to decide, am I going to be prosperous in freedom or prosperous in bondage? That's what God was trying to tell David. And when David understood, now the psalmist said, since I was young, and now I am old, I have never seen the righteous. He will not start with you. Nor his seed. It even went to the children. Begging bread. He says no. Lift up your hand. Bless the Lord. Bless him.